Christmas continues. We prayed Psalm 148 today, and it's one of the happiest prayers, psalm prayers. And the author of that psalm is convinced that every part of God's creation praises God. From angels, sun and moon, everything that swims, fire and hail, snow and frost, even slippery pavement, stormy winds, mountains, trees, animals, birds, and even creeping things, and maybe he meant creepy things. Young and old men and women, everything created is to praise the Lord. And we're singing a number of Christmas hymns this morning, all in praise of God and Jesus, his Son. We have come this morning in inclement weather to adore the Lord. And as the psalmist wrote, everything praises the Lord, for he alone is exalted, and his glory is above heaven and earth, and he has done wonderful things for us. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians more than 1,000 years later, was of the same mind. If you read between the lines, I think Paul's question is, how big is God? And Paul's answer is pretty clear. God is big enough to adopt us, to redeem us, to forgive us. God is big enough to reveal more and more of himself to us with the birth and teachings of his Son Jesus, and who gave us the greatest of revelation. In his letter, Paul also lists the benefits that we have as members of Jesus' church, and we have received these benefits. Now, the church of Ephesus was located in a port city. There was a lot of commercial trade in and out of that harbor. It was a major port. And for that reason, Ephesus was the center of Christianity in Turkey. In addition, there was a huge temple there, a Roman temple, the Temple Artemis, which is one of the seven wonders of the world. So Paul knew that that was the place, one of the places to build one of his churches. Ephesus was the place to be. And Paul's congregation was right smack in the center of that place. So imagine when the people of the church of Ephesus received Paul's letter. And put yourself into that same mode when you heard it this morning. For what Paul wrote applies 100% to us today. The God of Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has chosen us to be a holy people, a blameless people, a people to be blessed and be before God and Jesus in love. We are not to fear God. We are not to be slaves of law, according to Paul. We are not to be slaves according to our own action. We are to be blameless in love. And Paul gives the reason. He states that the reason is because we have been adopted by God. The same as children are adopted. And when children are adopted, they receive all the rights of natural-born children. We have full rights before God. And Paul states that this was freely given to us by God. We don't have to do anything. It's there for us. And Paul, like the psalmist, talks of the riches of God's grace, which has been lavished on us. We are a people smothered in God's love. Now, Paul sees in Christ God's wisdom and insight. And Paul sees a plan. And the plan that Paul sees is that we are destined for unity. And that was one of the reasons that Jesus was born. Because in Jesus, Paul sees that everything is gathered together. People of all nations and races, everything in the cosmic universe. And just as the psalmist saw that everything praises God, so Paul sees in Jesus everything being given meaning and direction. What Paul sees is a blueprint, a structure being built according to that blueprint year after year according to God's design. And we, everyone here today, is part of bringing that unity together. Now, everyone is aware that concrete reality looks much different from what blueprints call for. We live in a real world, a world of anger and envy and pride and greed, lust and laziness. But we are, if you will, employees of God. And Paul tells us that we have an inheritance from God. Now, to inherit in a probate means that we're receiving money and things from a person that we did not work for. We just plain receive them. To inherit is a gift. And Paul says that we inherit. And what we do inherit is a destiny. Now, it's not a destiny that we can just receive and sit back. God's destiny, again, if you will, is that we are employees of God to follow God's plan, to fulfill God's plan day after day after day. So we don't live for our plan. We don't live for our purposes, but for God's plan and God's purposes. Because as believers, we believe one thing, as Jesus did. God is in charge. God will give us the counsel. God will give us guidance. God will give us His direction. And God accomplishes what God wants to accomplish. And we've seen that in the history of the world. So if we individually cannot or choose not to carry out His will, then God will find another person to do that. If we refuse to carry out God's will, we're not really fulfilling God's destiny. But for those people, according to Paul, who do live in God and set their hope in Christ, the reward is to live for the praise of God's glory. Paul reminds us that we have heard the truth from Jesus and are now marked with a seal. Good jewelry has a seal. I didn't realize this until about 15 years ago. I had a job which was a pretty interesting one. A person had died with a lot of jewelry, and the family had said that the jewelry is very worthwhile and they wanted me to have it appraised. So I took it to a local jeweler who I trust, and the jeweler said it wasn't worth very much. The stones were worth a lot, the gold was worth something, but the jewelry as it was artistically put together was not worth a lot. So I figured, well, wait a minute, let's just test this out. So I found a jeweler in Chicago that had good reputation, and so I took all the jewelry down to Chicago to have it appraised. And the jeweler down there, who doesn't know the jeweler up here, gave me exactly the same information, that the diamonds and the other precious gems were worth a lot of money, the gold was worth a lot, but the settings were not. And the reason that both jewelers gave was because it didn't have a seal. And in other words, had the settings been done by Tiffany's or Van Cleef and Arpels, it would have been worth a great deal because of the artistic setting. But because it was unmarked and they didn't know who the jeweler was, it didn't have a seal. It didn't have that worth. Good watches have a sealed name. I have been to patent attorneys' presentations where they talk about how the Rolex brand is protected. So if you buy a Rolex or a Tolex, it may keep better time than a Rolex, but it certainly doesn't have the name and therefore does not have the value. So what Paul is saying is that we are a sealed person. We have the seal of God, and that seal means a whole lot. Just as the same as a notary seal means a whole lot. We are a marked people. And Paul said, what does the mark mean? The mark means that we are promised the Holy Spirit because God is with us. And this is the pledge, this is the guarantee of what we have inherited, to be God's redeemed people. And as free people, we are free to praise Him. So we come back to Psalm 148 over and over and over again. Now, Christmas trees are going to the curb. We saw one this morning driving here. King Eddie and Princess Opal have tired of some of their new toys. So what's left of Christmas? What's left is our calling. The calling remains to heal. The calling remains to be part of Jesus, to heal, to mend, to forgive, to visit, to care for, to support. And that is why we are church. We are the community of Jesus Christ, to praise, to worship, to carry out God's will as shown in Jesus. And therefore, let us return to the question that I think is between the lines of Paul's writing. How big is God? And the answer is God is big enough to adopt us, to redeem us, to forgive us, to reveal more and more of Himself to us, and with the birth and teachings of Jesus, to give us the greatest of revelation so we can really understand as best we can as humans who God really is. And this is the God that each of us, each in our own way, day by day, ministers on behalf of and witnesses and lives for. This is the God who gave us His Son. This is the God who gave us Jesus, and Jesus is the joy of the world. Amen.